Right. Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 122. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And this is the day we've been building up to. Watched all the Alien movies, and now we have both seen Alien Covenant. I'm going to give Chris the task of starting the conversation about Alien Covenant.
All right, yeah, so Jeff and I both like Prometheus. Really haven't discussed our feelings on this, but Alien Covenant picks up after Prometheus. About 10 years, I believe, after Prometheus, actually. I think there's a line of dialogue that says that the Prometheus went missing a decade prior. It's not really all that important there. The Covenant is a, colonist ship that is going to, they're taking humans, 2,000 of them. They're going to colonize another planet and with humans. They've picked out a bunch of like special worlds. They're on their way to one of them when an accident happens, as would happen in an Alien movie. An accident happens. And while they're fixing it, they pick up a beacon. Drawbacks to the original Alien. And this beacon, though, it seems that this planet is very lush. It is right within the has all the right parameters for a special world for humans to live on. So instead of listening to the second in command, the new captain there, he decides we're going to go there, and shit goes bad, obviously. A lot of the opening of the movie is kind of spent with like dealing with the loss of crew and what happened in the accident and the setup for them landing on this planet. But once they land on the planet, everything goes to shit really quickly. And it all ties back to Prometheus, where David, the android from Prometheus, is revealed to have been living on this planet. It is revealed that he has maybe killed all the engineers. Well, it is revealed that he killed all the engineers, but the humans don't know this. And he's basically set this planet up as his own island of Dr. Moreau, where he is experimenting and creating new life forms based on the black goo from Prometheus. And the second half of this movie is really just a kind of like an action knee horror type thing. And I don't think it's particularly scary. Or particularly action-y, except for maybe the last act has some cool special effects as they're trying to get off the planet. But it's something. It's a sequel. And I left there going, I don't know how I feel about this. I know how I feel about it now. I think it's a bad Alien movie. I think it's a bad Prometheus follow-up. I think it's a mediocre Alien movie. It answers the wrong questions. I don't think we needed and spoilery here, but it answers questions about the alien origins, the xenomorph origins specifically, and how they are tied to David's experiments. And this film here, chronologically, I guess in canon, is the first evidence of the facehuggers and the eggs. So there's that. But where do you stand on this?
Hey, I gave this to you for a reason. I left the theater a lot like you did. I was just like, I was not sure how I felt about it off the bat. Like, just coming out of it, I was like, I don't know. And that feeling hung around for like a long time. And I take that as a bad sign, because if I loved it, I would know right away.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I'm happy for once that, like, we don't record our reviews of a new movie, like, the day after we saw it, because, yeah, it took a while for it to sell for me, and I'm kind of right in the middle, kind of right with you on it. Like, it's part, like, direct sequel to Prometheus. It's part, you know, like, there's another Alien movie.
Yeah.
But as far as the Alien movie part of it goes, it's the most, like, a slasher film I think any of them have felt like. Like, they go over the top with the kills and the gore in this.
Yeah, it is the most brutal, visceral, gory Alien movie to date.
I'm not against that either.
No, that's fine.
I felt like a weird mishmash to me, like, trying to be both. And I was not. I don't think I'm happy with the sequel to Prometheus part of it. Like, I just, it's like, okay, like, the explanations you're giving me, I'm like, all right, fine. But I don't know that I wanted or needed to know that. I don't like it. I don't think I like the idea of knowing, of, like, and when I watch Alien now, I have to think, okay, this is where the xenomorph came from, and I don't really like it. Like,
yeah, that it was genetically engineered based on experiments that an android made because he has daddy issues.
I think part of what's coming to fruition here is, like, what people didn't like about Prometheus is, like, well, part of what they didn't like is, like, we didn't need to know all this shit. And I liked it in the first one because, well, in Prometheus, it felt like that movie is a movie that is, like, filled with mystery. And yes, it's, like, raising questions. And I like all that. And here it's like, all right, now we're going to answer to them all.
Well, and my problem with it is it leaves you with questions at the end of Prometheus.
Yeah.
A lot of them. But it doesn't answer those questions. Instead, it answers other questions. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the questions that are asked in Prometheus and that come from it are, you know, deal with the creation of humans. And this kind of shelves all that by David committing genocide against an entire planet and then setting up shop and playing with the black goo to create what is basically, like, the ultimate organism.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Funny thing about the movie is, like, I'd say one thing people could agree on that works in Prometheus is David and Fassbender's performance. It's like, they're like, well, then we're gonna double down on that. Like,
we're gonna give you two of them.
Yeah, we're gonna literally double down because we're gonna have two Michael Fassbenders in this, and he sort of becomes more and more the focus of the story as it goes on.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I enjoy that. Like, I enjoy Fassbender as David. I enjoyed him as Walter. I don't know if that's where I wanted this story to go, though.
Yeah, I'm not, like, as time is going on and I'm thinking about it more, I'm, like, becoming more okay with it. But I just wasn't blown away by any of this movie, and I just didn't love it, and it's surprising to me because I actually really do like Prometheus quite a bit. And this is like them, you know, it's not like he's pretending Prometheus didn't happen. In fact, I would say if you have not watched Prometheus recently before seeing Alien Covenant, you might be a little lost.
Yeah, you at least need to kind of know what happened in Prometheus to go into this, because a lot of David's story ties to that. In fact, yeah. David is in the opening scene of this movie with Guy Pearce's Peter Weyland. And that is very important to the theme of the retroactively theme of Prometheus and the theme of Covenant. So
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of that stuff is in there in Prometheus. Like, he's up to something. But I don't know. Like I said, I think I'm becoming more okay with it the more I think about it. But, you know, I didn't want to be walking away from this movie going, I think I'm okay with it the more I think about it.
Right.
I didn't want to like have to sit there and go like as I'm leaving the movie theater going, did I just have fun or not?
Like, and I mean, I've been very negative with this, but I did have fun. Like, the kills are great. The Xenomorph is exciting. I think Catherine Waterson as Daniels is fantastic. Like, she continues the string of strong female heroes in the Alien franchise. But I'm just left like I don't know if I care where the story's going.
Yeah, I like. I feel like we are like almost in 100% agreement here. Like, yeah, there's things about it that are good, and I need to watch it a second time because I had an issue. Like, this must be like old age kicking in because like, as soon as I got to the theater, like out of nowhere, I was like a wave of exhaustion hit me where I was just like struggling to keep my eyes open for the whole movie, and it's not the movie's
It's
fault.
not a boring movie.
No, it's not the movie's fault at all. It was just like me all of a sudden I'm like dead tired. And yeah, it wasn't the movie's fault, but like for most of it I was like, God, I can barely keep my fucking eyes open and I'm like struggling to watch this. So I think that took away from whatever enjoyment I would have had out of it. And yeah, I need to see it again. I need more time, but like we're about a week out from seeing it. And it sounds like we're kind of in agreement here on this. It's not the worst thing ever, but it also did not like it did not live up to like my hopes, I guess.
Yeah, it's for me, it's a fine movie, but it is a massive disappointment. Like,
Yeah.
I left, I was super excited for this, especially after watching like all the movies
Yeah.
together and like going in like, wow, you know, I really enjoyed the story that Ridley Scott laid out in Prometheus. I love to see where they're going with this. I like Dr. Shaw's character. And we find out her fate in this was, and we never actually see her. She was killed off camera. And then we're kind of like pushed into this whole new thing. And that takes that whole like exploration for the creation of mankind away. And instead, it's like this android playing God. And I think the performances are fine. I think like Ridley Scott did a good job in getting good performances out of everybody. I think visually it's stunning. Like it is a beautiful looking film, but I'm just not satisfied with the narrative.
I thought the CG was pretty good too. Like, you get to see more of the alien in this than I think you've ever got to see before. And it looks like it's pretty convincing. It's pretty close. Yeah.
I guess they're calling this a protomorph. It's like the prototype xenomorph.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not the one we see in Alien, but it is the kind of like first iteration of that.
Yeah, a few more modifications to come. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how I feel about this with time, but right now that's kind of where we both kind of stand. It's pretty in the middle. Chris says massive disappointment. I am not too far off from that. It's not a terrible movie either. I'm gonna give it a 3.
That's exactly where I'm at.
But like it's I did not I don't know. Considering how much I like Prometheus, I expected like this seems like a movie that is a sequel for people that like Prometheus and like Alien and is trying to do both and doesn't 100% work.
Yeah.
Not the worst thing ever, but it's not as bad as Blair Witch was for me. I'll
There
say
you go.
that. We'll see. And I do hope like I would not be against this continuing. I guess. I mean, we've already fucked up the whole like thing and given all this mythology anyways, so
Right.
why not? We'll see. It was number one last weekend, its opening weekend, but it was also it had a big drop off from like Friday night. box office.
Yeah, and it barely beat Guardians for number one,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and I went and saw it on Friday, and like an afternoon showing, it did not fill up. So,
yeah, I saw it Sunday morning, and it was, I mean, there were people in there, but it was in one of the bigger theaters in that theater. It seats like a 500 in there. There were maybe, it was maybe 20% full, so.
Yeah, I think mine was like that at best. So kind of an anticlimactic end to our journey through the series.
Yeah,
just come to this like the one that we're very ambivalent about. So well,
yeah, it happens.
Something I am not ambivalent about, and I wanted to bring it up again. Was Master of None. I went on kind of a long rant about it last week. Not rant, but long, like praising it. So I'll give you my short and sweet review now that I've finished all of season two. It is a celebration of food, of film, friendship, romance, and almost more than anything, differing perspectives, like different perspectives. It's a wonderful show, and it's going to be my second five-star of the year. It's
nice.
Really worth checking it out. That's it. I'll keep it short and sweet because I know I was going on and on and on, probably making it sound boring last week. But you know, if you're into stuff that like celebrates like food and film and you're into rom coms,
life,
yeah, it's well worth checking this out. You see anything else this last week that you want to get off your plate? Or
So I've kind of continued my horror, like grabbing like random horror movies on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And I watched a movie called The Windmill, which is it's a Dutch horror film. It's in English, but it's basically like this weird slasher film where people who have sinned and have committed, you know, bad acts. They're brought out on this tour, this windmill tour, and it's I don't know how they come to it because they're not, it's not like set up so that like, you know, they're grabbed and brought out there. They just happen to all end up on this bus, and they end up going out into the out of Amsterdam, and where they end up is at this windmill, and the death basically stalks them and shows them their transgressions and allows them to make peace with them and then murders them viciously.
Like death.
Yeah.
The, like,
yeah. Like there's death. A, okay. Well, I mean, like he has a scythe,
Okay.
But he's this like, They play it up a little bit. There's like evidently like a Dutch legend where this guy was sentenced to death for witchcraft and for making deals with the devil, and he was burned at the stake, and his windmill was burned down, and but the legend goes that like Satan was so happy with him that he allowed him to come back and collect souls for him, basically. And so he like, it's this kind of like elaborate slasher movie with this like metaphysical kind of backdrop to it. And I thought it played very well. It's short. It's like an hour and a half. Most of the characters are pretty enjoyable. And like most of it follows this one girl who has some psychiatric issues, and she was abused as a child, and she murdered her father, burned him to death. But she had tried to protect her brother, but in the process, she brought her brother out of the trailer, put him down, and told him to stay there when she went back in to burn her father to death. And somewhere in between when that happened, he had crawled in the back of the trailer. So she ended up murdering both her father and her brother. And so a lot of it plays off of her mental issues, and but they all have like fucked up things. There's this one doctor who I guess he accidentally murdered one of his patients during an operation. But like he purposely did it, but he like there was malpractice involved and he killed somebody, but he wouldn't be remorseful for it. And this other guy killed his wife, and like there's a whole like list of things that these people did, and they see these scenes, and then death, this Netherlands death guy murders them in extravagant ways. So it's a fun little thing.
This is a recent movie.
It's on Netflix. It's like 2016. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Where you landed on that there?
I'm gonna go with a 3, but right. Like it had some cool, fun kills, and I think the characters are interesting enough. So,
all right.
You see anything else? Some old stuff you watched, right?
Yes, I have been continuing. I kind of set out a little bit before our last episode. I decided, despite the fact that I grew up in the 80s and all I watched in the 80s was a lot of horror and sci-fi, I figured there had to be like some stuff that slipped through the crack that I never saw. So I decided I'm going to dedicate a lot of my movie watching time for the next however long watching specifically anything from 1980s that is horror or sci-fi with some other stuff mixed in, but 80s. And one of the movies I checked out this week is John Carpenter's Starman from 1984. Okay. This is a movie about an alien that comes to Earth, and he takes the form of this lady's dead husband. He like goes in her house, finds some pictures of the dead husband, and he finds some hair, and kind of, you know, using his DNA before, like, you know, this movie came out before we really understood DNA, but ahead of its time, I guess, using, you know, the husband's DNA, he takes her husband's form so that he could appear human and that he won't scare her. And he's like a crash-landed alien that needs to get back to, like, a certain specific spot so that his people could come and grab him. You know, it's like a meetup point or whatever. And so he kind of like takes her hostage and has her driving him across the U.S. to get to this location. And this movie was a huge surprise for me. I've never seen it. I think you said you had seen it.
I believe I have, yes.
You have Jeff Bridges as the alien / dead husband. And you have Karen Allen as the wife, the woman who's helping him. She's from, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Jeff Bridges is fantastic in this movie. He is like just great in this kind of fish out of water role, like playing this, you know, creature that does not understand anything, who's like slowly learning. You know, just even basic things like how to speak English, but just also just understanding different human concepts. He's just so good in it. He actually got nominated for an Oscar for this role. And this movie, like, it's such a huge surprise because I've never seen John Carpenter do anything like it. It feels way more like Steven Spielberg, like early Steven Spielberg. It's just like filled with wonder and magic.
And that's not what you expect from John Carpenter.
No, like, not at all.
Especially not during that era.
No, yeah. I mean, I guess he kind of made it as a response to people's reactions to The Thing, which is hilarious. Because I actually watched an interview with him last night after I watched the movie, and it was from back then. And they were like, even in the interview, they're kind of giving him shit about the level of violence and how bleak The Thing is. And he was like almost apologetic. So I guess at that time when The Thing came out, people did not like it. And like people look at back on it now as one of the greatest horror movies ever made.
Yeah, The Thing is fantastic.
But it was almost like this was like an apology for that. But it doesn't matter because this movie is fantastic. It's just a sweet movie. Like, it's more than anything, it's a kind of a romance. But just, you know, really gentle, sweet. There's no like crazy violence in it. You know, not a ton of suspense. It's just really like kind of like these two people going across the country together, him learning how to be a human, and them like kind of slowly falling in love that, you know, has to be short lived because he has to leave the planet. I don't know. It was fucking wonderful. I loved it. It's got a great score too, and which is not done by John Carpenter. It's done by somebody else. But I've been listening to the theme all day. I ordered the Blu-ray because
you're all in on this.
I liked it a lot, but the DVD that I got from Netflix is an older DVD, and it's kind of a pan and scan version of it, standard aspect ratio. And the movie's so good that like I got around that, but I was like, I would love to see this in the
how it should look.
Yeah, how it should be. So I loved it quite a bit. I'm giving it 4 stars, but I mean, I'm like on the edge of 5. It's just,
I think that's one I'm gonna have to revisit. It's like,
it's a great movie, dude. It's like, if you love that era and you love shit like E.T., like, this movie's like all heart, dude. It's really surprising from John Carpenter. I'm like so happy I checked it out. So yeah, that's one of them.
You saw another. You were posting some pictures and stuff on Facebook.
Yeah. The other movie I saw is called The Hidden from 1987. This is another alien comes to Earth movie, but and this one, the alien is jumping between. It's like an alien slug, and it's jumping between human hosts, taking them over and then just killing people. It is like super trashy and 80s, like to the max. Like, you know, there's casual cocaine use. There's boom boxes. It like has all these things that date it. And I love it. Like, it's a fun fucking movie. It's basically like this detective and this FBI agent trying to track this thing down, and you'll quickly realize what's going on with the FBI agent, and it takes the detective a long time to figure out what the hell's going on. But it's just fun. It's like just goofy and totally over the top 80s nonsense, like just the music, everything. Like I said, cocaine use, boom boxes, strip club scene. You have fucking rocket launcher, or I don't know if it was like a grenade launcher, like just crazy weapons, just ridiculousness. And it's pretty like just fun, like a lot of action scenes and like this thing getting shot up. Like, it lacks something that really sets it apart. Like, when you like watch Terminator, like as that movie goes on, it's kind of amazing. Like how there's a robot underneath it, and like, you know, it was like a special effects marvel at the time it came out.
Right.
And, you know, here, this is pretty straightforward. They're just using a human who is a quote unquote alien just killing people. You know, not much of a plot beyond that, other than the alien just wants to kill as many people as possible for whatever reason.
Sometimes that's all it needs.
Yeah, it's totally like, I don't know, dude. It's a fun fucking movie, and it's well worth checking out. If you're a fan of the 80s, and if you have Netflix discs, this DVD is from the year 2000, looks good. It's widescreen. Like, it feels like a modern release. So no problems like I had with the Starman one. So,
right.
Yeah, this is definitely worth checking out. Like, I think you would enjoy it quite a bit, Chris. I'm going 4 stars on The Hidden as well. I did not,
nice.
You know, it's not like Starman, where like Starman, I'm like, man, this should be a classic. Why do people not talk about this? This is just like a hidden gem that's a total blast, and it's exactly the type of thing I was trying to find when I set out to do this. I'm like, there's got to be some more super fun like 80s movies. So
cool. Well, I'm glad that worked out. I'm gonna write that one down and maybe hit that one up.
Yeah, I'm sure you could like watch it digitally somehow. So, if it's a rental, I'd say anywhere, you know, $7 or under, well worth it. Yeah, those are kind of the two big ones I saw this last week.
Well, the only other thing I watched, I watched the first two Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah, yeah.
As the fifth movie comes out this weekend, and I believe you're going to see that for some reason.
Right. Yeah, girlfriend yeah. wanted to see it, so okay. I said, all right. I mean, I am in a Disney mood as of late, and I loved the first one. I thought yeah, the first one is great.
And it so. Still is. I watched that one first. It is still a fantastic adventure movie. It's like a great swashbuckling, like, you know, sword fighting, piratey pirate movie. The second one is less so.
Yeah.
The second one's fine, but it's a slog. Like it's two and a half hours long. The first 40 minutes is total nonsense. It has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't start getting interesting until maybe about an hour and a half in, which is yeah. unexcusable for a movie. Yeah. Both movies have some great visuals. Gore Verbinski did a great job, on that series, making it look great. And, costuming's fantastic. Johnny Depp is really good in the first one. I think he is less charming as that series goes on. And some of that is like, he's hard to root for because he is a narcissistic asshole, basically. Like, that basically bumbles through life and, but he gets everything he ever wants. And like, he's kind of a dick. So, the first one that kind of, it's fine. Like he's fun. And that story really focuses on like Will and Elizabeth, Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley. The second one is there's a lot more of him in it. Even though he's not really the central focus, but it's that movie drags a bit. I'm going to watch the third one and the fourth one probably before I go see Dead Men Tell No Tales. I believe that's what the new one's called.
Yep.
But I remember liking three more than two, and I remember liking four. But I guess if you look at the critics' ratings, they were progressively dipping.
Yeah, so the downward slope.
Yeah, and the new one's not getting great reviews, but I have heard Ooh. From some people that it is fun, like the first one. I've actually seen people say it's the best one since the first one. So, but the bad reviews are brutal.
Yeah, there's some real like, but and I've seen reviews also say like you said best since the first. So.
Yeah, so I do wonder if like. Johnny Depp is just like there's a lot of shit surrounding him. There's a lot of people that are that have kind of turned on him, and you know, right or wrong, like he definitely has some personal issues in his life that are not worth celebrating. So
yeah,
but as an actor, I still think he is quite quirky and entertaining. So I'm hoping that this new movie goes pretty well.
Yeah, I'm hoping I like it. It's all signs point to, oh my God, but I don't know. I just hold out hope. And I do think like it's sitting really bad on Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's like 20-something percent.
Yeah.
I think that this series has a lot of bad will built up towards it. And you got to think that there's probably a lot of negative reviews, you know, so that contribute to that low percent where the people are also still saying, well, it's probably the best one since the first, but we're sick of this. Yeah. I think Johnny Depp does play a factor probably.
Yeah. I think you're probably right on that too. Is like, they were tired of it at the end of three.
Yeah.
And, they made two more. And even though I think four is actually very enjoyable, it's a fun adventure movie that simplifies things a lot. Like the two and three make the story very extravagant and overly complicated. But yeah. I like the idea that they're kind of like cycling it back in. They got Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley back. even if they don't play central characters, like they bring them back in. Story is maybe not just about Jack anymore. So I hope it's good.
It's going to be interesting for me because I'm going in pretty fresh on this. I'm not doing rewatches. I've only seen the first one. I started to watch the second one and I was like, wow, this is not good at all. And I turned it off because they're long ass movies. I'm just like,
yeah.
And then from there, I don't care. Like, I haven't cared about it since because I was of the opinion that if it could go that bad after an amazing first one, then I didn't care. But now it's been so long. I'm at the opposite. Like, all these critics have all this bad will built up from seeing all these movies, where I'm like,
maybe I remember the first.
Yeah, like I'm kind of in the mood for it. And I'm like, I remember the first one being great. Maybe I'll like this.
Yeah.
I'm going in with that mindset, and we'll see how it turns out. So we will have Pirates next week. I will have a movie called Night of the Creeps.
Okay.
And possibly a movie called Vigilante, or possibly The Last Starfighter.
Be interested to see your take on The Last Starfighter, because I remember really loving that movie. So
you know what? Just so you know, I was at the good old Walmart in this last week, and in their bargain bin of Blu-rays, there's The Last Starfighter. So you might want to keep an eye out.
All right,
I passed. I'll have to
take a look for it.
I almost bought that, and they also had the AVP double pack Blu-ray in there. I almost bought that, and I was like, ah, and I passed.
And I saw that you may have added Solar Babies to your Netflix queue.
It's a little bit lower down on the queue, yeah. But I'll get to it.
All right, yeah. That's one that a friend of ours, Sean, and I like a lot. So
I see. It's I wasn't even sure if you guys liked it or what, but I was like, all right, I'll add it.
It's totally goofy sci-fi, but it's a fun 80s movie.
Well, that's what I'm going for. So look forward to more of goofy 80s list. So see how Pirates goes next week. I'm worried, but hopefully, I mean, Javier Bardem as a bad guy, like, come on. Can't be.
Yeah. And I mean, Jeffrey Rush is back as Captain Barbossa, and he was the best thing about that series. So,
yeah.
So yeah, like that. There's a lot that looks really good about that movie. So I'm with you. I hope it's good.
I'm hoping. We'll see. We'll find out next week.
So I guess we'll be back next week with Pirates at least, and then some other stuff.
Yes. Movie dudes. Do 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 do.